Welcome to the Alpha Male Coach Podcast, the only podcast that teaches men the cognitive mastery and alpha mindset that it takes to become an influential and irresistible man of confidence. Here's your host, certified life coach and international man of mystery, Kevin Ayo.
What's up, my brothers? Welcome back to the Alpha Male Coach Podcast. I am your host, Kevin Ayo. And how's everybody feeling this week and or week, depending on when you are listening to this episode? And the reason why I ask is because of the eclipse that happened last week, last Monday. You know, this podcast comes out on Friday. So if you're listening to this podcast episode anytime before Monday, like during the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, then it was last Monday. If it's during the week after this podcast came out, then it was 2 Mondays ago. It was April 8th. There was an eclipse. And, you know, I don't know this ahead of time. I find out about this in hindsight, but I guess this eclipse was a completion of a cycle that has been very heavy for people, including myself. Here's the thing, brothers, like, I don't really follow astrology. You know, astrology is not really my thing. Consciousness is my thing, to be consciously aware of energy. Energy is my thing, right? Like, I'm an energy guy. I'm a consciousness guy. I'm a cognitive guy. So I'm aware of the energy of thoughts. I'm aware of the energy of feelings. I'm aware of the energy of lights, colors, sounds, like all the vibration through the five senses, the body. I'm aware of all of these energies. And it's the awareness of it. So I'm feeling it fully, but I'm aware of it. I'm also distanced from it slightly because I'm in the observer role of it. So I'm aware of the energy shifts. I'm aware of what's happening. I'm aware of, you know, is this coming from my mind? Is this coming from the environment? Is this coming from the cosmos? But I don't really know why, because I don't follow the systems. If I do follow a system, if I look at a system, then it's human design. As you guys know, like, I'm a projector, and we work with human design in the academy as well. So I understand that system, but that system doesn't account for, even though it's astrological in parts, it doesn't account for some of the specific events like eclipses that occur as cosmological events. So I was not aware of the significance of the eclipse, what it means. But after talking to friends of mine who are, and, you know, very close people of mine who I trust very deeply about these systems, I now know why I feel a great sigh of relief after this eclipse, right? It's kind of like this, this backpack coming off, right? It's like this weight coming off. And now with retrograde happening and so on, there may be some new experiences. It might take a while for the full effects of the eclipse to become a experience, but I definitely feel a relief, a sense of ease, a sense of peace. And I know a lot of my students do as well. So how are you feeling? How are you guys feeling? I know that was kind of a long intro, though, but it does allow us to get into what we're going to talk about today. Because, brothers, again, like, I want to move you guys to energy. Everything is energy. Like, we've been working a lot with consciousness. We've been working a lot with cognition. And cognition is energy. It's a very specific type of energy, is related to the universal truth that becomes the results that you create in your life through the cause of your mental images, right? Either sentences or pictures. We call thoughts. And then you attract them to you through your vibrations, the vibrations in your body that we call feelings. And all of it's energy. So from a bigger perspective, all of it being energy, we can pull back a layer of the onion and we can kind of look at a deeper aspect of self when we look at our energetic bodies, energetic beings. That's why when I say to you, we are spiritual beings having a human experience, if we are limited, if you are limited, we are limited individually, as a collective species, to the predicament of being in the material world, to saying, I am my body, right? Or the predicament of being in the limited reality of identity. I am the story I tell myself about who I am, the reputation I have in the world, right? If we're limited by either one of these things or by both of them, then we're going to have a very particular, we're going to have a very specific type of human experience that is going to be limited by definition, right? Because the experience is limited, so the story is limited, right? The consciousness, the energy is limited, so the experience will be limited. But there's going to be a great deal of suffering involved in it as well, because within those two things, there is a conflict. There's a conflict between what is, right, where the body is, and between where the identity is, which is this ongoing saga of past, present, future, of where I've been, where I am, and where I'm going. And those two are in differentiation that create a lot of suffering. So when we peel back another layer of the onion and we get back to some kind of union, some kind of energy, and again, quantum physics is proving this to us, and I believe it's proving this to us because we are moving towards it. As a spiritual consciousness, we're moving towards it. We're kind of creating it as and discovering it at the same time, discovering the infinite potential of what could be and creating it out of that. And as we do that, we are able to see ourselves in a different way. We're able to see ourselves in a way where life kind of takes on a new meaning, where life is not so much about what's going on externally, but about what's going on internally. And the more we make this shift from the high vibrational invisible planes, from the planes, from the dimensions, whatever you want to call them, from those places of energy where the vibrations are so fast that they're invisible. As we make that shift, which is consciousness, right? Which is cognition. It's a mental shift. It's as our minds begin to come up with new ways of freeing ourselves from the burden of external karma, external action, which would be labor, right? Work. Then we begin to move to a more contemplative state of being, which is to look at what's going on internally as the external perfection of reality that we experience unfolds. Right. So everything is happening for us. And as it happens for us, we begin to break out of the bondage of needing to survive. And we find ourselves in a state of survival. Most of us, I mean, I know there's still places in the world that are not at this stage. And we're moving towards that as a species, by the way. Like that's still happening. We're getting there at a very rapid rate. But most of us are in a state where we can now begin to detach from this burden of labor and begin to look inwards. And even if we are still in a burden of labor, and I know even in the first world we are, I get it, brothers. Like I get that there's still an economy to deal with and there's still, you know, bills to pay and so on. But even in that state, we still have a beautiful way of beginning this process before we're fully detached from labor. Right before everything is automated through technology and mechanization, we can still begin this process of spiritual remembering through the experience of relationships. And we do that through a process of relationship yoga. Yoga, not meaning the yoga that we think of in the States, maybe, or maybe in Europe. I don't know. Maybe Europe understands because I haven't been to Europe in a long time. It's been a long time. But in the States, we have this idea of yoga, and even maybe in Latin America as well, because yoga tends to be this place where you go. It's like a studio where you go and you lay out a mat and you do poses and the stretches and you hold them and sometimes there's breath and, you know, the pranayama, and it's usually led by an instructor, leads you through, and the little lay down at the end, and you get the final pose meditation. But that's only one type of yoga, because yoga itself means union, right? Specifically union with God, right? Union with unity, union with all, union with one. And that's one type of way of getting there. Right, is through the movement of what we in the West consider quote unquote yoga. But yoga is, you can get through yoga many, many ways. You can get to union through scripture. You can get to yoga through service, karma yoga. And what I'm talking about is yoga through relationships, union through relationships, union with oneness by removing or letting go, releasing the blocked energy that is within us. That comes up through triggers. So what we're doing here is as we begin to detach and we begin to free ourselves from this burden of labor that we find ourselves in focusing our consciousness externally, we can now shift and focus our consciousness internally. But we can do that now, even while we're engaged, and we can start to look in our relationships for where we can evolve, where we can remember, where we can heal by going internally and looking at what comes out. Now, what I want to do today, brothers, is kind of give you an example of this. Very quickly, remember the movie analogy. I think this is important. Understand just very quickly this movie analogy. So you remember what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the alpha state, the beta condition, or even the watcher, right? The true self, the false self, the pretending. The pretending is the ego, right? That's the identity. That's the beta condition. You're pretending. So the movie analogy here is, you know, you are a actor and you are playing a role. Now the role you're playing for most people, it is unknown that that is a role that's being played. Most people don't know they're playing a role. Most people, they think that the role they're playing is who they really are. And that's what's so fascinating about this work. A lot of times when we are bound to that external, right? When I'm saying we're bound to the external matrix, we think that who we are is real. We think that that identity, that story we tell ourselves about ourselves is real. And then we start to take it very seriously. So with the movie analogy, what it ends up being is we are the actor who's been tasked to play a role, right? That's kind of like the birth process. We are a spiritual being born into the third dimension, into this body. And that's kind of like taking the part. Okay. I'm going to take the part of so-and-so. I'm going to take the part of Kevin and I'm going to come into this role, be born. And then I play the part of Kevin until death. That's kind of like the end of the role. That's the end of the movie. But then I go back to being who I truly am. Now, most of us don't know that. Most of us think that the role is who we really are. And then we get stuck in that seriousness and that survival mode and that ego and that, you know, that separation. And we get very worried and fearful, and that's the suffering of everything. So when we look at that and we say, okay, so who am I? The alpha state, we step back, we say, oh yeah, I'm a spiritual being. This is all pretend. Right? And we do this work in the academy. Again, brothers, here's the academy pitch again in every podcast episode. The academy pitch is, look, we do this, brothers. We do this with the universal truth. We do this with the model of alignment. We do this over a series of curriculum, just like first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, where you can begin to decondition yourself and then remember, decondition yourself from your false self and then remember who you truly are. Because by doing that, then you get into this peace, this joy, this flow, this ease, this love, this gratitude, all of the things that keep you in a vibration and attract to you more of what you truly are. And so with the movie analogy, we got a couple different types of actors, right? We've got the types of actors that might be that are in their alpha state, right? They know who they truly are. And every time they show up to a role, they just show up as they truly are, right? Now, this is very rare. I mean, this is very, 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 very rare because really these are the yogis, right? These are the ones that are out there. We really don't see a lot of these people because by being in the presence of these people, you awaken, you remember, because there is no ego staring back at you. There's just this blank slate and all you see is the reflection of purity, reflection of oneness. You know, we hear about these stories of these gurus that are out there, right? So these are the people that, you know, it doesn't matter what role they're playing, they're always the same person. You know, it could be like a Kevin Hart, right? Like, it doesn't matter. Kevin Hart, I don't know, you guys must know who Kevin Hart is. He's one of the most popular actors today. And he's always the same guy. Like, it doesn't matter what movie he's playing in. It doesn't matter what title role they've given him. You know, you're going to get Kevin Hart. Like, that's who he is. And it's a wonderful thing to know, to go, you're going to a Kevin Hart movie. It's like, oh yes, I'm going to go see something funny, something amazing, something really great, because it's going to be Kevin Hart. Yeah, it's going to be, have a plot and a story and supporting actors and actresses. And, you know, he's going to be called a different name and so, but it's still going to be the same movie. There are other actors, right? On the other side of that, who know who they are, right? They know they're spiritual beings, but they're still working in the world. They're still out in the world, participating in their role, pretending to be other people, right? And they can be different people. They can move, they can shift, they can change, they can be this way, they can be that way. All different, depending on where they are. Again, but this is different than the beta condition that changes unconsciously where they are because they're people pleasing. With these actors, they're doing it because they're fulfilling a certain role for that specific environment. Like they're kind of like servicing. They're servicing this role, but they do it so well, you don't even know. They can be completely different. Like this is with like a Daniel Day-Lewis or like a Johnny Depp type of thing where, you know, like they show up to a role and you don't even know. Like they know they're Daniel Day-Lewis. He knows he's Daniel Day-Lewis. He knows he's a spiritual being, but he's going to show up to this place as that person. Right? Because in that environment, that's what's needed in that environment. That's where the karma needs to have the energy in a certain nuance or vibration. So that's the role that's going to be played. And he's going to pretend to be that, knowing he's pretending so that there's still a holding of a space to where people want to come out and say, okay, cut, right? Let's cut. Let's work this. Let's look at this. Then that space is open for people to remember. And then, of course, you have the other, you have the beta condition where people get lost in their roles. They really don't know. And I just kind of got done talking about that earlier where they're just playing their role. They don't even know that they're in a movie. Right? And that's the beta condition. Now, that's probably you sometimes. That's all of us sometimes. And sometimes we're in the other state, right? We're very rarely in that Kevin Hart state. We're very rarely in that guru state because I would say we're probably never in that state. Maybe that's the mystical experience. That's the unity experience. That's the unified experience. Very rarely, sometimes we get into it, but it's rare. Sometimes it needs to be medicinally induced. Sometimes it comes through breath work, meditation. You know, sometimes it can come through having a profound external experience like seeing the Grand Canyon or jumping out of an airplane. You know, there might be some adrenaline attached to it. But in general, brothers, like we don't maintain that state. We maintain the state of identity. We maintain the state of who we think we are. And we flip in and out of knowing that we're pretending to be that person. Like, oh yeah, this is a game. This is a joke. This is a, you know, this is just for fun. And we don't take ourselves too seriously. That's the alpha state. We're watching ourselves pretend to be this beta, pretend to be this identity. Or we're in the actual beta, right? We're like, we're seriously pretending to be that role, or we're not pretending, we're seriously trying to engage that role because we forget that it is this joke, this game. And you can probably notice this in yourself, in your own relationships, right? Notice the difference when one person calls your name than when a different person calls your name. Notice the difference in how you respond, in how your identity rises up and the personality you assume. When your parents say your name, there's going to be a certain energy, a certain vibration that comes up when you hear your name from a parent versus when you hear your name from a coworker or maybe from a employee. Maybe you're the boss of a company, you have an employee, you hear your name, right? I can tell you personally, anecdotally, I hear a difference, right? When I'm with my family and my brother says my name or my mom says my name or my dad says my name, there's going to be a different vibration, a different energy in what arises than when my students use my name, say, hey, Kevin, I have a question, right? Then there's a difference. Like, yes, like, okay, so now I'm taking on this role because my student is taking on a role of question. I'm taking on the role of answer. So there's a vibration of teacher, right? There's a vibration. That personality, that identity has energy. It creates an energy, and that energy rises up into the vibration that can create movement, right? Creates the actual demonstration of persona. And remember, persona is the Greek word for false self, right? Mask. It's the mask. It was the mask that the actors would wear in the theaters. So it's the fake, right? It's the ingenuineness, right? The inauthenticity. So when we then get into our relationships and we're working with our relationships and we can become aware of that. We can become aware of when, oh, that's the certain vibration that's arising. Look at who is coming up. Look at who I'm pretending to be. Look, I'm pretending to be brother. I'm pretending to be brother. And what comes up with the pretending of being brother? Like when my brother says, Kevin, you know, what comes up? I pretend to be brother and all of the past, all of the stories that mean brother that come along with it go into that vibration. And so then I show up in that relationship as this certain type of person, as who he expects me to be and who I am, have taught him that I am going to be based on all of this story coming from the past. Same thing with students. When students say, Kevin, question, you know, it's like there's the same thing. There's a vibration that arises. And that vibration that arises is teacher, right? Question. I have answer. They have question. Student has question. Teacher has answer. So there's this vibration that comes up and all the past that comes up with it. You know, all of the memory, right? The memory of relationship that goes in. Now, here's what we can do. So that's the analogy. Remember, Rose, the movie analogy. Now, here's the example in relationship. When we work on relationships, we want to watch that energy move within us. The work we do in relationships, most people get into relationships, they're not looking to do work on themselves, right? And that's not yoga. If you're not looking to do work on yourself, you're not entering into relationship yoga. If you're going into a relationship looking for you to have your needs met or looking to change the other person, then you're not doing the yoga, right? You are going into, if you're going into a relationship having your, wanting your needs met, then you are in the 90th percentile, maybe 95th percentile of the humans in the world. I believe humans are conditioned to go into relationship from a state of incompleteness, looking for a state of completeness. So they go into a relationship from scarcity, right? From lack, and they say, you need to fill this hole within me. And the agreement they make is, if you fill the hole within me, if you fulfill my needs, I'll fulfill your needs. And then they become codependent. That's the codependency route. And it's so funny because you can see this. You can see this in marriage and relationship counseling and therapy. You can see this in Hollywood. It was one of the greatest things. I mean, even became a catchphrase out of Jerry Maguire, right? Like, you complete me, you complete me. That was the whole thing about relationships, finding somebody that will complete me, finding somebody that will make me whole again. I remember the female character on that role. She was so sad, right? She was a single mom, so sad. Like, I'm going through life alone. I need somebody to share experiences with. And there's one thing to be said for that, right? There's one thing to be said for sharing experiences. But if you're feeling a need, a lack that says, I cannot experience the fullness of my life without sharing it with somebody, then again, like, you're looking for a relationship to complete you. You're looking for a relationship to make you feel whole. And that's going to be a need. Right? You're going to go in there looking for somebody. But then there'll be like that transaction. I want to share experience with somebody. What do you want? And see if I can fulfill that. Maybe you want somebody to help you financially, or to help you cook, or to help you with your business or something. Like, maybe there's some kind of transaction that comes on. And that's where people start to settle. Right? They start to settle into a routine, a pattern, and things get... Anyway, now I'm doing a whole relationship thing. And yes, we do relationship things in the academy as well. If you want a more amazing relationship with anybody, brother, then come in the academy, because that's, well, again, what we do. We look at where the relationship is and how you can improve it based on energy. Because it's all energy. What's going on within you? So again, to come back here, when we look at the relationship, that's one thing. People get into it because they want to have their needs met. You know, other people go into relationships for other reasons, but to really work on the yoga of relationship, you are with that person. And sometimes if two people come in with the same idea, if two people come in with the same idea and say, yes, we both want to do this, you guys can actually have this conversation. A lot of times, though, it's just one person. Because one person's doing their work, another person's doing their work, and the conversation's not had, or if they're not doing it together, then one person will be doing their stuff, maybe through service, maybe through scripture, like writing or reading, maybe through action, or maybe through, you know, stillness, meditation, and that's also included in the movements in the studios that we see the yoga done there. But to do relationship yoga, you don't have to have your partner coming in to do it with you. If they do, then you can have a conversation that kind of looks like this. You would say, okay, we are going to have a type of relationship where our relationship is a sacred union. That this union is going to be work on bringing us back to unity with ourselves, to remember who we truly are. That's the yoga. And that sacred union means that we will be each other's teachers. Not each other's teachers in that we'll tell each other what to do, but each other's teachers in that we will be and act in our highest selves through the use of the other to trigger and work on what it is that's blocking that demonstration from being executed, right? Demonstrated. And when I say demonstration, I mean acted upon. So, and I'm going to give you guys an example because I know that may not come across as completely understood. I'm going to give you guys an example of all three scenarios. So where both people are working, where one person is working, and where neither people are working. Now, when you do that, if you can have that conversation, then really what that means is you are in a relationship of love. That's why we call it a sacred union. Because you tell the other person, I need you to be the person. I need you to be the patient of yourself. I need you to do what you need to do to heal no matter what. And the other person says the same thing to you. So you guys come into this agreement with each other where anything goes. Anything goes. You are unconditionally going to allow each other to express what is happening inside the person, inside that person, in the moment. And by doing that, you are going to watch what happens within yourself in that moment. And sometimes that can be the entire work. That can be the job. That can be a 12-hour day. That can be a 12-hour day. There are people that have taken this yoga and have taken it to such levels that they will not produce, right? They will not work. They'll shut themselves in, just the two of them. They'll shut themselves in and they will do this as a full-time job. And it's a spiritual practice. It's a spiritual practice. It's almost like being a monk, but with your partner. You know, being a monk with your partner. So you're not, you know, we're not talking celibacy here, right? We're talking about you and your partner shutting yourselves in and just working on letting go. Working on letting go of all of the stuck energy, letting go of all of the junk that you've been hanging on to, all the trauma that you're holding on to, that essentially is what is quote unquote being triggered, right? And so you can see it come up and then you bounce off each other. Now, let me get to this example. Because I want to make sure I have time for this example. We got an example of two people. Like, this is a beautiful, symbiotic, energetic relationship. Like, this is how bhakti yoga can be very, very symbiotic, where you have one person who's working on the lesson they're working on is speaking their truth, right? They want to let go of people pleasing. They want to let go of holding back their truth because they're afraid of how other people feel, which is the same as saying they're afraid of experiencing the fullness of their own emotions. They want to control how their partner feels, because if their partner feels upset or angry, then they won't be able to handle that anxiety of what happens when their partner feels upset or angry. It's kind of like that fear of abandonment. Uh-oh, if my partner feels upset, they're going to leave me. That upsets me. So I need to make sure that they feel okay. I need to bring them up. And that's where people pleasing comes in. And that's where the lack of speaking of the truth comes in. So if we have one partner, one person, call them the male, we'll say the male partner is working on stopping people pleasing and speaking their truth. He gets into a relationship with a female, and the female partner in this relationship is working on letting go of her victim mentality. And she is stepping into her empowerment of recognizing that everything is happening for her, that life is a gift, that no one is against her. You know, people aren't actively trying to harm her. Because of her, because of what she's done, right? Some people may be doing that, but that's because of their own trauma. But that, you know, it's not like the universe isn't against her. So there's that. It's stepping into gratitude, stepping into being able to receive without the idea of being manipulated or taken advantage of. A lot of different things there. So you can see the symbiosis here, that while the male partner is going to work on speaking his truth and not people pleasing, that is going to trigger the female partner's idea that she may be being talked down to, she may be taken advantage of, she may not be being coddled or being treated kindly, because remember, it's not as though he's not speaking kind to her necessarily. It's just that she's already got this idea that people are mean to her. So she's going to immediately be triggered by this feeling of victimization. Now, when she feels this feeling of victimization, what do victims sometimes do? Like, what may she do? She may fight back. She may get defensive. She may get it become insulting. She may become passive aggressive. And all of that stuff is then going to trigger his feeling of, oh my gosh, she's upset. Is she going to leave me? Right? Is she going to abandon me? I'm going to have to people please, right? So the two of them are going to go back and forth with each other. And it's not about so much about arguing, right? Because that's the, the relationships that aren't working on themselves. It's not so much about going back and forth, the arguing. What it is, it's about going back and forth in the observing. You're watching yourself as the other person shows you yourself. They're not showing you themselves. They are showing you their own trauma because she may react with a passive aggressive response, right? That may be her trauma, but that is her gift to him. That's her teaching him, because then it allows that to trigger within him this fear of perhaps abandonment or fear of her not being, her being upset. So then it's like, oh, there it is. I got to watch this. And then he needs to speak his truth. Now he could succumb, right? Go unconscious and succumb to that fear and start to people please. And that's okay, because that happens sometimes. Nobody rides a unicycle the first time they get on it, right? We fall off sometimes. We make mistakes. We don't always do, you know, we don't always hit a home run the first time we step up to bat. So when we do that, that's okay. But we watch that. Right. We watch that. And if he does start to people please, and that's okay, and blah, 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 and everything, eventually it's going to go back. But the more they become conscious, the more he's going to start to see, oh, I can see where I'm people pleasing. And he may start to speak his truth, and he'll step, and he will speak his truth. He'll step back and say maybe something to her about her being passive aggressive. Or maybe she won't be triggered by then, right? Maybe there's going to be something where she can recognize it in her. She could say, oh, I see the victim mentality in me. I see that this is not really him attacking me, right? This is him speaking his truth, or this is, or maybe he's not speaking his truth, right? Maybe he is people pleasing, and she'd be able to see that as well. It's like, that just doesn't resonate, right? That doesn't quite feel right. That doesn't feel like he's being honest. That feels like he's trying to please me. And the more she feels empowered, the more she's going to recognize that and be able to kind of work with that energy of him as well, right? Because as she recognizes that this is inauthentic, it's the more she becomes authentic in herself, which is not the victim, but the empowered spiritual truth, then she'll recognize it when he is being inauthentic as well. And again, that's how you heal each other in a relationship. It goes back and forth. Now, when both people are doing it, it can be very beautiful. But both people are doing it, be very beautiful. But it doesn't, you don't have to have both people doing it. And in fact, most of the time, you're not having both people do it. Most of the time, it's just one person doing it. My students in the academy are great examples of this, because they're the ones that are doing it in their relationship. Are their partners doing it? No, because their partners aren't in the academy, number one. And I don't know of a version of a female version of the academy. I don't know anywhere that's teaching this type of thing just for women or even just for couples. Although that's something we are going to do in the academy. We're going to open up a couples program because of the importance of relationships. But a lot of my students are in this one-sided place, and that's okay, because they're the ones doing the work. On the other side of their relationship, there's not that happening, right? She's not out there working on herself. She's not out there. So to give this example then of this male-female, that's why specifically I made the female the victim, because if the female's working with the victim mentality, and that's the partner, right? So if you're the male, you're in the academy, and your girlfriend's got this victim mentality, then there will be times that you fall into your beta condition. There will be times when you're in your state of people pleasing or speaking people pleasing. And it's probably going to end up where you pacify it a little bit. You know, you kind of bring it down because the victim wants to hear that, you know, wants to be pacified. When you are working and speaking your truth, you're going to be triggered more, because that's going to bring your partner more into that place of her own triggering. But here's the thing. When you work with it, when you really are there watching it, this is the beauty of it, then you are in that sort of detached or disconnected state. I don't want to say detached, because detached can be connotated strangely, but in that disconnected state, you know, you're pretending. Remember, this is why I use the movie analogy. You're pretending to be the person that's, quote, working on letting go of the energy, because that's what's going on. Like, you're really the pure spiritual being. This energy that's trapped, this idea of people pleasing, this idea of speaking the truth, that's all happening in the foreground of the human experience. And you're watching that unfold. And while you're watching that, you're holding space for that to happen. Because if you weren't holding space, you'd be locked in it. You'd be taking it seriously, and then you'd probably be either people pleasing or, you know, it'd be a very egoic battle, which we'll get to in a moment. But as you hold that space and watch it, then you have that space available for her to open up. And as you hold that space longer and longer, as you hold that space more, it's like the sky, you allow whatever's going up within her, whatever's energy is moving with her, which is probably going to be that victim mentality, to move and to work freely, to kind of process and allow out. So that's being released. That's kind of flowing and flowing and flowing. So she's flowing this blah, 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 victim, 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 victim. You're flowing this truth, 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 right? Authenticity, honesty, love, like it's just there because you're holding that space. And as it moves, you're going to open up to where it will actually allow her to come to a place where she can find moments, glimpses of, oh, everything is okay. This isn't about me. Like, I'm not a victim here. I'm loved here. I'm safe here. This is what's meant by when you heal yourself, you heal all of humanity. Because you just need to continue doing your own stuff. You just keep opening up and letting go, letting go, letting go, letting go. Because you speaking your truth is you moving the energy. Now, brothers, when nobody's working on it, this is where most relationships are. And I don't need to belabor this one. I don't need to spend too much time on it because really it's just two egos going back and forth. It's two egos going back and forth in relationship. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. He said, she said, he said, she said, he said, she said. And it goes back and forth to where then they go out and they talk to their friends. She goes to her girlfriend, says, oh, he's been such a jerk. He does this. He does that. They complain to their friends. You know, he goes out with his buddies and complains. They complain. That energy, you know, intensifies. You know, it's like compound interest, right? It's exponential. It's building and building and building. And eventually the relationship, quote unquote, doesn't work out. Well, it doesn't work out because nobody really went into the relationship for it to work out. Relationships are not about working out because the two egos are compatible, right? That's what we're taught. We're taught that a relationship works out when two egos are compatible. And that's okay. That's okay for you to be in a relationship where two egos are compatible. That's a great place. Like that's kind of like one of those wonderful friendships or sexual relationships. You can have a sexual relationship. You can have cohabitation. You can have a marriage based on egoic compatibility. Sacred union, like the real relationship, the real work to be done is not about egoic compatibility. It is about helping each other let go of the parts of the ego that are in a state of low vibration, projecting onto the world and causing the world to continue to experience that vibration through the perpetuation of it proceeding from you, like dropping a pebble into the pond. If the world were a pond, you know, you dropping that pebble of trauma into the pond over and over is continuing these ripples. When you work with a relationship, to see it, to move it, to let it go, to experience it out of you, to process it and allow it, you heal the world. Now, again, you don't need the other person to do that. When the other person is doing that, well, as I said, it's not just 1 + 1 = 2. It's 1 + 1 = a million. You exponentialize that process. You make the process not just more exponential, but also more efficient and also more effective. And that's what I have for you today, brothers. Relationships, the energy of relationship, why there is a layer beneath, beyond the layer of egoic compatibility that says, let's remember the depth of our truth And that can only be experienced when we're in that state of release. Release, disconnection, observation. Until next week, brothers, elevate your alpha.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Alpha Male Coach Podcast. If you enjoy what you've heard and want even more, sign up for Unleash Your Alpha, your guide to shifting to the alpha mindset at thealphamalecoach.com/unleash.